Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at science, health, and technology. I'm Rebecca Wolfson. Today we'll hear Under the Microscope's new weekly segment, Call of the Wild, the sounds and stories of animals in Missouri. From mammals with bizarre talents to bugs we can't live without. This week we're going dove hunting with KBIA's Sarah Ashworth. But first, the keys to happiness. Psychology professor Kenan Sheldon spoke in MU's Jesse Hall last week. I later sat down with the happiness guru and asked him, how can you measure and research happiness?
Most of the studies that I'm willing to take seriously in this area are longitudinal. So you actually have to get people at the beginning, measure their baseline, where do they start out, and then you have to ask them to do something or follow them as they do something. Do they start college? Do they set some new goals? Do they start doing a meditation or an exercise routine? So then you have to look at a second time to see, okay, how has that affected them? And then you have to keep looking even after that to see, is it still affecting them or have they fallen back to where they started out in the beginning?
You mentioned that circumstances don't necessarily make that big of a difference in people's happiness. First, could you explain what do you mean by circumstances and then why that is?
Yeah. What we mean by it is something in your life or environment that it changes and then it stays the same after that. So you might paint your living room or, you know, buy some new furniture or move to a new house even. And it's great at first, but it stays the same after that and you stop noticing it. So the main thing we're saying is you've got to keep experiences happening that you keep noticing, which to us means you get involved in some new activity that provides you with a steady stream of differing positive experience, and that seems to be what we need to actually stay up consistently.
What role then do you say genetics play in all this?
Genetics is where you're going to keep ending up, everything else being equal. It's kind of like the fundamental baseline that we each have. Some of us are born as irritable, whiny infants, and others of us are happy and cheerful even from the beginning. And that seems to set a pattern that's there for life. So it's important, but we also think it's unimportant because you can't control it or change it, so why worry about it? So even somebody that's by personality kind of a pessimistic, glass half empty type of person can learn to be reasonably content rather than miserable.
So what are the keys to happiness? Sheldon says in order to be happy, people should manage their lives so they feel autonomous, competent, and connected. Call of the Wild, Under the Microscope's weekly segment on Missouri's animals. Each week, we bring you the sounds and stories of different animals in Missouri, from mammals with bizarre talents to bugs we can't live without. This week, KBIA's Sarah Ashworth went dove hunting.
Tom Amerson's dove hunting season is off to a promising start. Within his first hour in the field, he's bagged one bird.
My first shot, I got one. So that's the only shot I've had, though. So I've got it in a cooler back here.
This is only Amerson's second year hunting doves, and he's out on this opening day with his friend Carl Altagi. They're dressed head to toe in camouflage and hidden in the tall grasses on the side of a mowed field. Amerson got lucky with his first shot, but he says he doesn't expect that luck to hold out.
Yeah, they're a lot harder to hit than ducks are, I'll tell you. I don't know, the size of them probably more than anything. You know, and they kind of dip and dive, and they're just difficult to hit.
Amerson and Altagi plan to hunt about 10 days this season. The two friends view dove season as a warm-up and good target practice for the fall's larger duck season.
Going out over the field there now, taking a little heat. It's going to come right up the line here, Tom. He's diving. Never mind. That is why the ammunition manufacturers love doves. There was 10 shots at that bird right there. That was half a box of shells.
Doves are notoriously hard to hit. The Department of Conservation found that nearly half of all dove hunters will go home after a day of hunting with one dove or none at all. And a hunter will take an average of 5 shots just to hit one. All those extra spent shells have become a problem for conservation agents maintaining the state's public fields. At Eagle Bluffs, that's the job of wildlife management biologist Tim James.
I have 44 guys out.
They each fill out one of these daily dove hunting tags, and so they're recording their kill and how many shots fired, how many birds that they think they've maybe have hit and haven't retrieved.
James flips through his stack of business card-sized tags as he checks who's out in the fields. Hunters at Eagle Bluffs need to check in and out each day, and James also makes sure they pick up after themselves.
Each of our hunters takes a bag with them, a little trash bag that we give them, that they'll put their spent shells in, and also the spent shotgun shells are littering, and conservation agents, it is something that they look for, and it is enforceable to pick up your spent shotgun shells because it is littering.
And James enforces those rules by making sure he's out in the field himself.
When you guys get any shooting in?
Earlier in the summer, James helped plant sunflowers in these fields. The seeds are a particular favorite of the birds. He's also sprayed the fields for weeds and mowed them all down, all in hopes of enticing the birds to fly low to the ground, where hunters like Tom Amerson and Carl Altagi will be waiting.
They're creatures of habit. Once they find a feed field, they like to return to it. That's what makes the hunting can be real good, because they keep coming back. Brains are kind of small. Look, there's a group of 6 right there. Tom, out front, Tom.
Out front. Too late.
Oh, there goes one. A heck of a shot.
The bird goes to another hunter down the field a ways, but the two friends stay the rest of the afternoon, determined to take a few more birds home. For KBIA News, I'm Sarah Ashworth.
Thanks for listening to Under the Microscope. I'm Rebecca Wolfson. Remember, podcasts of this show and all our shows are available at kbia.org. Happy Rosh Hashanah!